This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
For McKinnon, trying to weave, he scores! Threw it toward the net from the top of the slot, and it got past Hellebuck. And back on to Taves. Now a wraparound by Matthews, and they score! Brady Tkachuk knocked it home! It squirted out to Larkin, and back to his good buddy Werenski, right on net. Rebound Matthews, trying to pass, they score! Sanderson! Mitch Marner, high slot down low. Bennett scores! Sam Bennett ties it for Canada! Henry pass, McDavid scores! Connor McDavid wins it for Canada!
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on Western New York Sports Giant, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Good Friday morning. The Yankees are allowing facial hair. Dogs and cats living together. Mass hysteria. Jeremy and Joe, good Friday morning. We're going to talk a little bit about the Four Nations wrapping things up. Connor McDavid, the golden goal. Great game, great tournament. Stephen Ellis of the Daily Faceoff joining us on the Western Hotline to put a nice bow on it. Stephen, good morning. It's Jeremy and Joe. We're disappointed the U.S. did not win, but we're you know, at the same time, kind of basking in what was a really fun 2 weeks.
Yeah, like, I think that's the thing to kind of take away from this. This is not as important to many people as the Olympics and events that are we're going to be seeing going forward, or like the World Cup of Hockey in 2028. But I think what we saw was some fantastic competitive hockey. Was it the highest level of hockey we saw? No, it felt like there was maybe a bit too much defensive hockey in the first six games. But then to close it out with as incredible of a game as we saw, where both teams led, you look at there was a thing called like the deserve to win o-meter, and it was basically 50% all game long. Like, that's what you want to see, right? And there were mistakes, but then there was just some great goaltending, and overall, what a fantastic way to end the tournament.
Yeah, if you're rooting for the U.S. in this tournament, can you almost feel okay this morning, even though you lost? Because isn't all the evidence through the whole tournament, but especially in the two games? I mean, like, shot attempts were exactly the same last night. Shots were even. If you take out the empty net goal in the Saturday game, it was like 5-5, I think. Like, all the evidence points to these two teams now are, like, really, really even.
Yeah, like, you don't want to make excuses, but what if Quinn Hughes was there? What if Brock Faber had another year of experience? What if all those players that missed that game against Sweden that might have not been at full health in this final game, like the Tkachuk brothers, well, what would have happened then? What if they had Charlie McAvoy? So to come as close to Team Canada, where it was pretty close to their main roster, obviously no Kate Theodore, there were no Pietrangelo, and no Josh Morrissey in the end, it was still kind of what you wanted to see out there. And you saw that Connor Hellebuck was so close to finally just breaking through and winning that all-elusive championship game that he's been missing all these years, one of the top goalies. But you still look at that, and there were just so many promising elements that was easily the best American roster I think we've ever seen at any hockey tournament. I think any past American team would tell you the same thing. And it's only going to get better next year for the Olympics.
Steven, I think Joe and I were kind of joking around, like, what happens, you know, the hockey world looks at this tournament and says, what do hockey fans do the next day? And the answer is we take apart the GM of the team that lost. You know, you said it was the best American team that they've ever had. Was it the best team America could have iced?
Well, no. You look at Tage Thompson obviously not being there. You look at Cole Caulfield and not being there, and obviously no Quinn Hughes, but so it could have been even better, and some of that was out of their control, like with Quinn Hughes' injury. But I think part of it is, I think the GMs on all the teams were still trying to play this kind of maybe old school. Like, we still wanted some guys who could be these role players, like Brock Nelson being a two-way threat, and Chris Kreider going there to be a tough player to play against. But then, like, Kyle Connor is one of the top goal scorers in the league, and he wasn't used in a scoring role pretty much the entire tournament. So That part of it shows you the depth it has, but part of it also shows you that, like, I wonder how this roster would have been constructed if it was named January 15th as opposed to December 4th. And I think Canada would did the same thing when it comes to goaltending. A lot of people would have said, okay, well, Logan Thompson probably would have been the starting goalie for Canada had they had all that time to look at it, but it's just kind of the way it is. And so the Olympics is still the goal here, and they've probably learned a few things along the way, and they'll be able to prepare for that better.
Yeah, like, I was wondering, like, would we expect to see them act differently? I guess you're kind of saying that. Like, next year when the Olympics, and I think it's bigger roster, it almost definitely is, right? Bigger rosters next year than what we have right now. Like, the guys I'm thinking of, Trocheck, Kreider, Nelson, you know, like, are we going to see the guys you mentioned, Jason Robertson, maybe even throw in that mix as someone we could see there instead? That's the one thing I just wonder. Like, is if Bill Guerin is the GM and Drury is involved still, like, will they actually bring the more skilled guys, or are they still gonna look for someone that they think's more of like a fourth line type guy?
Well, that's the thing. Like, I think that was something where when you look at the game, how it was pretty much in 2010, 2014, 2016, we're still looking at a more skilled game today, and I feel like the way the teams have started to look at their rosters has to be a bit differently. You know, you want some guys who can go out there and throw some hits and be tough to play against. Well, we saw the American, that was their top line. That was the Tkachuk brothers. That was Charlie McAvoy. Like, those are guys who are not just there to play a specific role. So you got to go out there, and if you're going to go beat a team like Canada where the center depth is Crosby, McDavid, McKinnon, and Braden Point, you got to be able to go out there and try and match their skill. And the Americans can, while also still being very physical. Like, it felt like throughout that entire tournament, when Canada used to be the team that people didn't want to face because of how hard they hit and how hard they skated, that was the American team this time. So I feel like that's going to be pretty big for them going forward, but you got to have those guys who can go out there and score from everywhere. And Brock Nelson wasn't that, but Tage Thompson and Cole Caulfield could have easily been those players.
Steven Nellis, Daily Faceoff with us. Jordan Binnington does show up in the big moment, like, was kind of built up that he could even before the tournament. Was it good enough? You think he'll be their goalie again next year?
When it comes to goaltending, like, Jordan Binnington could be either the best goalie in the NHL at the time of the roster announcement or the worst goalie, and wouldn't surprise me either way. I think with him, his ability to bounce back after allowing a bad goal was so important, and he finishes the tournament with the best high danger save percentage, even better than Connor Hellebuck. But I would have to assume his low danger save percentage is probably among the worst because he did allow so many weaker goals. But his ability to allow a bad goal and then make some incredible saves the rest of the game and basically be perfect, it was so crucial. So we'll see. Hockey Canada liked him. They brought him to the World Championship last year, and he thought he allowed some bad goals of this tournament. You should have seen him play against Austria when there were Canada was winning 6-2 in the third period, and they only won 7-6 in overtime, mostly because Binnington fell apart. So those type of games are still known there, but I think right now he's got that inside track. They like him a lot, but if Logan Thompson can show that this is not just a one-season thing and he can be this superstar goalie, I think they're going to have to look that way instead.
Steven Ellis with us. Do you think, we talk about like the years coming up, how 2028 there's a World Cup, we'll have the Olympics next year. What do you think they do in 2027? Because I just feel like an all-star game would just feel like a total letdown if it's surrounded by all these awesome international tournaments.
Yeah, like at a certain point, like they're going to, they can't keep the international tournaments because they will start to dilute it. Like you look at the fact that there is the Men's World Championship to be one of the most underrated and greatest hockey events. It's the one where all of Europe loves it. But North American teams, it doesn't resonate. Like Canada can win gold and it's not even mentioned in the news. Latvia finishes third and they get 3 days off as a country to go celebrate. Like it's a bigger, it's a completely different thing there. So for me, like, I'd rather see the players go to that than have another tournament in the middle of the year. So I thought, like, for a while, if you want the All-Star game to matter more to these players, you've got to put, like make it so players are playing for charities and make it so if they don't try, if they do the Nikita Kucherov thing, it makes them look bad. And if there's money on the line, again, like that matters a bit more. So we'll see what they do there. But yeah, like it's going to feel like a massive letdown going back to they're doing the All-Star game next year. Like at least that's what they announced. They're going to be doing that before the Olympics, which my opinion, I think that's going to be canceled at some point because why would the players bother with that? But it's going to be interesting to see what the league does.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Stephen Ellis, Daily Faceoff on Four Nations as we wrap this up. We had a fun question. Is there any player you came away after this tournament thinking differently of? I mean, for better or for worse, really. You can go positively or maybe they don't have it like they used to. One player that you were really impressed with?
I'd say it's Dylan Larkin, and I feel like that's a player who has always been a leading part of the Detroit Red Wings, but for pretty much his entire career, he has not come close to tasting the playoffs. And I know a few fan bases could probably say the same thing, but when it comes to the way he played, I felt like he was the ultimate role player because he was fast. He was very good defensively. He was, if you look at the advanced analytics, like his goals, expected goals for percentage, it's like pretty much every time he was on the ice, the puck was in the offensive zone and he was a big reason why. So Larkin, his ice time kept growing as the tournament wore on. He played really good against Canada with those 2 points on Saturday, but then he probably played his best game actually against Sweden when they were missing all those players. So Bill Larkin just showed what Red Wings fans have been saying for this long time. Like, he's not 90-100 point guy, but he brings so many other elements to the table that there's no way he's not going to be on the team in Italy next year, when a lot of people were questioning why he was there this season to begin with.
Wrapping with Stephen Ellis. Before we let you go, Stephen, is there anything on the Sabres? any thoughts at all on a 14th year in a row missing the playoffs, and they're like the one team in the East that's not even in the race?
There's no team in the NHL I want to see succeed more than the Buffalo Sabres because I love the fan base. And I don't know, man. I still think back to last year when they rushed Devin Levi to the NHL, and that made me so mad because, like, historically, having a goalie go from college to the NHL was a terrible idea. I really think they hurt his development. That's a little concerning to me for the long run there, but I think this team has just too many decent pieces here that I still think you got to make a GM change and go from there, because I still think you got the talent here to make it work. It's just the right people have got to be the ones putting it together.
Stephen Ellis, Daily Faceoff. Stephen, thanks very much.
Yep, thank you so much.
Next year at the Olympics, by the way, did someone in the chat ask about other Sabres that could be at the Olympics next year? Like, Kulik's going to be at the Olympics next year.
For Czechia?
He's going to play for Czechia. And Paterka is going to play for Germany.
Yep.
Like 1,000%. He's probably on the top line with Dreisaitl, I would assume. Beyond that, that might be it. In the addition to, like, Tage.
Zone Power have any chance?
No.
I don't think so either.
For Canada?
Right.
Maybe in 5 years. But no, 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 no. I think it's more likely that at some point in his career, Levi's playing for Team Canada than Power is.
Okay. That sounds fair. 803-0550. We hear that a lot. One of the things Steven said. There's no fan base I'd like to see the Sabres succeed more than the Sabres, whatever. Like, yeah, thanks. We would like that too. Our thanks to Stephen Ellis of Daily Faceoff. All right, I have a stat of the day for you. Maybe stat of the year. We're going to get DJ in Virginia first. And then I've got a stat of the year about the Super Bowl viewership and stats that you didn't even know they could track, maybe.
Okay.
The story that it tells is something incredible. DJ in Virginia first, though. Hey, DJ.
Hey, guys. So I got a Let's Get Stupid. Maybe it's a Let's Get Stupid. So I thought Mitch Marner was one of the most impressive guys in the entire tournament. I don't think this is a trade for in the season, but after the season, the Toronto always losing the first or second round. The whole fan base is always furious at Mitch. I would give him the same deal for Pettersson, except maybe throw in a first round and a prospect, because I think he's a better player. And then in the negotiations, because he has a no trade clause, bring Josh Allen to the actual negotiation.
Yes.
He's obsessed with them. We have the same owner. Finally be a good owner for both teams. Let's make it happen.
Well, Marner's a UFA at the end of this year. And
he hasn't signed yet.
No. He's going to get, what, $14 million?
Sure.
With the cap going where it's going to go?
Yeah. Maybe 15.
Well,
it depends where he goes. If he stays in Toronto, maybe it's 14. If he wants to play the free agent bidding game, mm-hmm. I bet he can find a team that'll give him 15. Maybe even.
And he
can
also.
What's the max? 16 the max?
He can also go for like 15 in Tampa versus 15 in, you know, Canada is different.
Right.
Taxes and all. Yeah, I mean, we kind of mentioned it earlier. Bring Josh in. Could he be the closer?
Why would Josh care enough to do it? As a favor?
Yeah. The same reason that he goes.
He goes to
Sabres games. He wants the Sabres to be good.
Maybe he wants to buy a minority stake in the team.
Yeah.
That's where we're at, though, is how do the Sabres get great players? I either need someone from here to become amazing, I need Josh Allen to convince them to come,
yeah,
or I need them to not have any trade protection so I can trade for them and hold them hostage until it works.
The other way to do that is to tank, but people will yell at you for a decade if you say what they should do.
We can't do that again.
All right, stat of the day. You ready for stat of the day?
Sure.
Of the day,
yes.
You tell me if this is stat of the year.
Okay.
Stat of the decade.
Okay.
I found a story.
The decade? We went above the year?
I might want to say stat of the decade. At awfulannouncing.com, they have some numbers on the Super Bowl, and specifically the Super Bowl halftime show. So Kendrick Lamar puts on the halftime show. Some people hate it. Plenty of people loved it. I thought it was pretty great. Anyway, the New York Post has reported that we can say definitively that New York, mm-hmm. they did not dip out on the halftime show.
Okay.
So in New York City, people were not skipping the halftime show.
Okay.
How do they know that? Or what would let them lead them to down that road? Well, people must have been staying by the television. The answer is that the Department of Environmental Protection found that water use plunged during Kendrick Lamar's performance. Basically, they can chart how often toilets were flushed. And during the halftime show, there were 558,000 fewer toilet flushes during that than there were in the game's first half. So people went to the bathroom more during the football than they did Kendrick Lamar. So the toilet data has told us that people did not skip the halftime show. How do you like it? And I've got a chart. They gave us a chart. You see this little line going across like this, and then when Kendrick Lamar shows up on the screen, zoom, it dips. People stop flushing toilets in New York City.
We have advanced analytics for toilets now.
Yeah.
Only
yeah.
in New York City, though.
Flushes per 60. Yeah. Expected flushes. Basically, we're saying there were 550,000 minus expected flushes.
Yeah.
Which, how many minutes was the halftime show? 10 minutes?
10 minutes.
So, minus 55,000 flushes per 60.
Yep. Can they get the same data? Well, they can't because it's the U.S., but in Toronto? I bet Toronto didn't have that.
That might be right.
Might have had a lot of them because
they do,
you know,
want to say
the Drake fans up
they
there.
They can't necessarily flush out the difference between toilets and other water usage. Dishwashers, washing machines, showers. Maybe people didn't shower during the halftime show. I don't know. Whatever. I found it to be an interesting story. Tracking a precipitous drop in toilet flushes.
In toilet flushes. That's pretty good.
Yep. Anyway, another random story that's making the rounds in Cleveland is that Shedeur Sanders, potential top prospect in this quarterback draft, which,
yeah.
Who did I just see? Was it Daniel Jeremiah? Somebody ranked the quarterbacks this year and said the top quarterback in this year's draft has the same grade as Bo Nix.
Okay, we had Eric Edholm on the other day, and he said, didn't he say Cam Ward was like in the tier of like Penix and Bo Nix?
Okay, yeah. And yeah. Nix was the sixth quarterback taken.
Right, right.
So the best quarterback in this would be QB6, according to that. Anyway, Shedeur Sanders, it has been revealed, when he plays Madden, he uses the Browns.
And only the Browns.
Only the Browns. He exclusively uses the Browns when he plays Madden, which has led some to say, is that posturing? Does that mean something? Is he trying to convince them you should take me because I'm practicing?
Is he mentally getting prepared to be a Brown?
And to throw the ball to Jerry Jeudy and looking at their playbook?
Yeah. They pick second.
They do.
So, like, if it's Cam Ward at one, then is that what he's campaigning for? Maybe two? To get to the second pick? I would have thought it was more likely he just wouldn't want to play for Cleveland. But there's none of that sideshow stuff's happening right now. Like, there was, maybe he'll be, I'm only going here, I'm only going there, you know, and that could still happen. But I was wondering, like, if he would be, like, I'm not going to Cleveland. And this kind of feels like maybe the opposite.
Yeah.
Like, no, I'd love to be the second pick.
Cleveland's got a good coach. I do think they have a good coach.
They have a good coach.
What they have,
they have a good coach. They have a really good offensive line. I think I'd want to go there.
I don't think it's a.
They have a good receiver. They have a good coach, good offensive line, and the defense has got some talent.
It's a terrible spot because of one decision that they made, which is a horrible decision about money and draft picks, blah blah blah. But before that decision, they were not some, you know,
no, they were playoff team.
Derelict franchise. They were kind of okay. They'd crawled back to middle of the road mediocrity stuff. No more 1-15s and 0-16s. They'd been respectable. So I don't think it's nuts to want to play there or be okay with playing there.
They almost beat the Chiefs in a playoff game.
That they did. Everybody almost beat the Chiefs in a playoff game.
That's fair. Although I think that was also the one that Mahomes missed.
He got knocked out. And Chad Henne ran for a fourth and one.
Yeah, so they couldn't beat him. But yeah, they had. I mean, the Browns were like Hugh Jackson, like the worst seasons of all time. Since then. Like, since 2020, 11 wins, 8 wins, 7 wins, 11 wins, and then 3 wins. So like they had a 5-year stretch there.
Yeah.
Where it was like, all right, it was pretty good. How much of that was Mayfield? You know, a chunk.
Right.
But there was, the 11-win year with Flacco and even Watson playing terribly. They had, like, I think had a winning record that year. So, All right, I could if I were a quarterback, I could look at the Browns and say, I'd rather go there than the other teams at the top. I'd rather go to Cleveland than, would I rather go there than New York and be a Giant? Would I rather go there and be a Titan? Roster wise, I could understand that.
So we've got a little bit of an update on James Cook.
Okay.
Yeah, he was on the nightcap. Not our nightcap.
Not our nightcap?
No. With Shannon Sharp and Chad Ochocinco.
Okay.
And they talked about his ask of $15 million per season. We'll tell you what James Cook had to say when we get back.